you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. We're going to continue our study together of this very familiar but amazing little portion of God's holy word as we see God doing some just very unusual things as he reached down his mighty hand in history. Hear now the word of the living God, Jonah chapter 1. And now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, we ask that you would come now and preach your gospel to our hearts from this portion of your holy, infallible word. Lord Jesus, that you would come and open this word to us. Show us wondrous things of your glory, of your power and majesty, of your holiness, of your incredible mercy and patience and love. Lord Jesus, save us this day. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord hurled a great wind. As we continue to look at this passage of Scripture, by the way, is that on? All right, thank you very much. As we continue to look at this passage of Scripture, we come now to consider in verse 4 the glorious truth that this God who had commissioned Jonah is the God who rules over the universe that he has made, and he does so as the Savior of his people. And so we want to look at two main things. First of all, that God demonstrates that he indeed is the sovereign God. And then secondly, to see that he exercises his power on behalf of his glory and his love and care and salvation of his people. So first of all, we see in verse 4, but the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea. You'll remember 2 weeks ago when we had the opportunity of being in the community Thanksgiving service, that we looked briefly at this same truth, and we saw that this word sent or hurled is the word that is used throughout the Old Testament when a man like King Saul, when he threw the spear at David and then later at his own son Jonathan to seek to murder them, that's the verb that's used, to be a powerful verb. And so here we see the Lord hurled a great wind or a great storm on the sea. This God who had commissioned Jonah refuses to obey, and he sought to flee from the presence of the Lord. What does God do? The sovereign God who is over nature, who has created and sustains all things, he reigns. And so he controls this universe, and he hurled this great storm. We see that this storm wasn't just something that just happened, and God said, well, you know, I'll take advantage of this storm. No, God was the one who commanded the storm to come into being, and he sent it at that particular place at that particular time for a particular purpose. And we're going to look at the purpose here in just a minute. But first of all, God is the one who rules over this universe that he has created. And to us as God's little children, that is a tremendous, glorious truth that thrills our hearts. The snow that we see that has come down, it comes down at his command. Now, let's look at a few passages of Scripture. First of all, turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and here's a passage of Scripture that tells us that God is the God who is sovereign over this universe that he has created, that he controls this universe. And here we see in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that which goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And so here's the God of the Bible who, just like he sends the rain and the snow, it comes at his command, it fulfills his purpose, it does what he wants it to do. He says, that's how the word goes forth from my mouth. Holy Scripture, the preaching of the gospel, it will accomplish what God purposes it to do. What a great God is the God of the Bible. What a great God is the God who made us. What a great God is the God who created the heavens and the earth and sustains the universe by his word of power. What a great God. Psalm 148, and let's look at that psalm. We looked at this briefly a couple of weeks ago, but I want to draw your attention again to this psalm. This is not the only place that we will look, but I want you to first look with me at Psalm 148, verse 1, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Now, we can understand the mighty hosts, the mighty armies of heaven praising God. But what is this business about the sun and the moon being called to praise God? I mean, is the psalmist getting a little carried away here? Has he kind of lost his marbles? You know, sun and moon, how are they going to praise God? How's the sun going to praise God? We understand how angels can praise God. They can open their mouths and speak and say, God, you are holy and great and magnificent and good, and we adore you and delight in who you are, and we sing your praise. We understand how they'll sing praises of the Lord, but what about the sun and the moon? Look at the next phrase. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created. Why should they praise God? Because he's their creator. They exist to praise his name. They came into being for that purpose. Look at the next verse 6. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Not only did they begin to have their existence through his will and just speaking his word, and out of nothing he created the universe and everything in it, but they continue to exist by his word and his decree. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you great creatures, and all the depths. And there was a great creature that we're reading about over here in the book of Jonah. This big sea monster of some sort. The word fish there is just the generic term that's used in the Old Testament to describe any creature that lives in the sea. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be what we would classify as a fish. It could have been a fish, or it could have been a whale, or it could have been some creature that we don't even know anything about yet. Anyway, whatever that creature was, it obeys the command of Almighty God. Look at the next phrase, verse 8. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his command. The lightning, hail, snow, clouds, stormy wind. They all fulfill his command. They all do what he tells them to do. And their existence and their doing what God tells them to do, every snowflake, every gust of wind, every cloud in the sky, every storm that comes is declaring the praise of Almighty God. It's saying, I exist because God has sent me, and I am his messenger, declaring his greatness and his power and his glory. That's how they praise the Lord, just their very existence. Look at the next. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. You see, everything that exists, exists for the purpose of declaring by their very existence, there is a God who made me, and he is great and powerful and worthy to be praised and worshiped. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth. Now notice it doesn't say kings of the earth and all peoples that profess to be Christians ought to worship God. And princes and all judges of the earth that would want to acknowledge that biblical Christianity is the path they have chosen. And notice the terms here. Kings where? Of the earth. All of the kings of the earth ought to bow down before their creator and sustainer and give praise to Almighty God. That's their duty. All peoples. This nation, China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, all of the nations of Africa, all of the nations of all the continents of the world ought to love and adore the living God because he's their creator and sustainer and the judge of all the earth. Princes and all judges of the earth. So all of the civil magistrates of the earth, all peoples, in every realm, in every aspect of life, ought to love and adore the living God, ought to obey Him, ought to honor Him. And of course, man is alienated from God. He needs to be fixed. And apart from the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, man cannot and will not and refuses to honor and love and adore Almighty God. And so here is the duty, the obligation of all creation to praise Almighty God. The created order does. All men ought to. Verse 12, both young men and maidens, old men and children. That pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to Him. Well, you remember we made reference, and I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. When the Lord Jesus walked on this earth, in His earthly ministry, He demonstrated, indeed, that He is God. When our children were young, we had a series of books called the Christian Mother Goose books. And the Christian Mother Goose books, they had taken all of these nursery rhymes and little stories and put a Christian twist on them. And one of the stories, I don't remember which volume this was in, but was about Solomon Grundy. And Solomon Grundy was a man who decided that he wanted a little bit more time. And so Solomon Grundy stood up on a hill and he addressed the sun and said, "Stand still." And guess what the sun did? It just continued to go in its course, and the hours of the day continued to tick along. And Solomon Grundy addressed the wind and told the wind to quit blowing. Guess what the wind did? Kept blowing. And so here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, we have a record for us of the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrating that He is God in the flesh. Look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now, when evening came, He was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, and that's 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And if you've been rowing all night long against the wind, I promise you, you'd be tired by 3 a.m., even if you took turns rowing. I don't know how many people could get on the oars rowing, but these guys, they're pretty well whipped. 3 to 6 a.m. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. And so here's an incredible miracle of Jesus demonstrating His sovereignty. He's God over the natural created order. I can't walk on water. You can't either. And no, the sea was not frozen. And so Jesus is walking on the water, on top of the water, just walking on the water, walking across, just like it has stepping stones. And when the disciples see Him, they see this man walking on the water. What do? They're terrified. They think a ghost is coming. They've never seen anybody walk on the water before. They cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And one of the things that we ought to take to heart from this glorious truth that God is so powerful that not only did He speak the world into existence, but He also, by His word of power, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us, upholds the world and the universe by his word of power. That's what holds the molecules and the atoms of the universe together. Almighty God, his word of power. That ought to be a tremendous comfort to us, to think that the one who controls this universe, he's our God, and he loves us, and he promises he's going to take care of us. Is he able to? Is he able to? Is God able to take care of us? Can he fulfill his promises to us? Amen. He can. He can. Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Well, the Lord hurled a great wind. And the sailors, they go, we're goners. And the lot falls on Jonah, and Jonah says, okay, here's what's going on. My God, the God who is the creator and the sustainer of the universe, he sent this storm because of me, because I'm running from him. And there's no use trying to get back to shore. It's just going to get worse. Just pick me up, throw me overboard, and I think the wind will stop. And they go, well, man, we hate to do that. We can't throw you overboard. Let's try to get back to land. So they try to row harder, but they can't. And so they cry out to God for mercy, and they pick Jonah up, and they throw him overboard. And what happened? Let's look at Jonah chapter 1. Verse 15. Of Jonah 1. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea what? Ceased from its raging. Why? Because there's a God who reigns in heaven. And may the Lord write that upon our hearts this day. We who love the Lord Jesus, not only the created order, is in his hands, but all of the situations that we face, the storms of life. And praise God, we have a Savior, nail-scarred hands. And he has the power to say, hush, be still. We didn't look at the other account over in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they woke him up, and they said, Savior, do you not care that we're perishing? Jesus, do you not care that we're perishing? We're going to die. Here you are asleep in the boat. Don't you even care? And Jesus got up and he spoke to the wind and the waves. He said, hush, be still. And immediately a sea of calm. You remember at the conference this past year, one of the men was preaching on Revelation chapter 4, and in verse 6, it says that before the throne of Almighty God, it was a sea of glass. Sea of glass. I've thought about that a lot. A sea of glass. We're down here below many times. It looks like things are just really coming unhinged, doesn't it? But before Almighty God, he has everything in control. It's a sea of glass. And this glorious truth that God hurled a great storm and then commanded it to stop. He's our God. And so what a comfort that is. It ought to cause us to do what the angels in heaven are doing. And turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. What are the angels in heaven doing right now, the saints who have gone on to be with the Lord? What are they doing? They're praising their Creator. They're worshiping their Creator. That's one of the things that we ought to do as we read here in Jonah chapter 1, and he hurled a great wind. We ought to just break out into praise to Almighty God. Here we see in Revelation chapter 4, look at verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest. They do not cease day or night to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? "For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." And so that's one of the things that ought to be taking place in our hearts even now, but through this coming week, as we consider who is the God who reveals Himself, the God who is and who was and who is to come, the eternal Almighty God. Who is He? He's the God who is the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe, and He's our God, and He's worthy of our praise and worship and our trust. He's worship of our trust. And that's the second thing. No matter how bad the storms of life may get, God's our refuge. God is our refuge. God is our shelter. And you think about Psalm 46. Turn with me to Psalm 46. And here we have a psalm that begins describing trouble and then uses the natural realm to remind us that trouble many times is like the most terrifying natural phenomenon that man can ever conceive of, which would be an earthquake so powerful that it would cause the very mountains to tremble and dissolve and just go into the heart of the sea. And so, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains shake with its swelling pride, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the dawn, at the break of dawn." Well, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so as we think about God hurled a great sea, not only should we worship, but we ought to trust Him. Because sometimes we find ourselves in storms, don't we? Sometimes we find ourselves in incredible storms. And we ought to take shelter in the rock, in the one who has given Himself and bled and died. He's the only Savior. There is no other refuge. There is no other shelter. And there are a lot of storms in this old fallen world. And the reason there are storms is because Adam rebelled against God and things are messed up. And sometimes we ourselves sin and sometimes others sin and sometimes both we and others sin. And sometimes we just experience the raging of a fallen world. Look to Jesus, the one who spoke and commanded, "Hush, be still." The one who hides us in the hollow of His hand. Obviously, If there are any who will be listening to this CD who do not love the Lord Jesus, you need to make peace with them. For who can stand against and live apart and live in rebellion against this God and survive? None can. Make peace with Him. He offers His glorious gospel. And all of us, may God renew our hearts. And everybody here professes to love the Lord Jesus. I praise God for that. May the Lord renew our hearts to love Jesus and to cling to Him. For He alone is the Savior. Well, let's pray. Father, how we thank You for Your Word. We pray that You would bless and seal these precious truths to our hearts. Lord, we only had time this afternoon to look at this first glorious truth. And we pray that, Lord, You would press it upon us, that we would worship You, that we would trust You as Your little children. And, Lord, if there be any who listen, Lord, on the internet or as these CDs go out, we pray, Father, that You would speak to their heart and that they would not fight against You, their Creator and Sustainer, the very One who gives them the beat of their heart and their breath and the ability to think. Lord God, please, Lord, speak to hearts and draw Your lost sheep unto Yourself. Bless now as we continue to worship You. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.